John chapter 5, starting with verse 24. And I want us to see that he first starts out with, listen to the truth. Notice what Jesus says. Most assuredly, I say to you that he who hears my word and believes in him who sent me has everlasting life and shall not come into judgment, but has passed from death into life. And so he is saying, believe that God has sent me. Believe that I am the Son of God, and I have come to provide that life. Exercise your faith. You know, we have seen throughout this gospel many times when he has declared who he is, others have declared who he is, and he's saying, just listen. Listen to this truth, and it will bring life in your heart if you exercise faith in who I am. Verse 25 goes on to say, most assuredly I say to you that the hour is coming and now is when the dead will hear the voice of the Son of God and those who hear will live. He is saying, come on, you know. And you know, when I heard the gospel as a young man, I did not know I was walking dead. You know, I did not know that. I did not know that I had a soul and it was deader than a doornail. It had zero life. And that only life could come through the reality of who Christ is and me placing my faith in him. And that's what he's saying. The dead will hear my voice. So many around him were hearing and believed. We saw that with the woman at the well. She believed in the midst of the calamity of her life, and she went and she told others who he was. They came to hear him, and they invited him to stay. Some believed in him just on her word. Others waited to hear him, and they believed. And the wonder of it. Same with the man at the pool of Bethesda, you know. He could have picked any one of them. And I want you to know this, and this was brought up after the service with that message. He loved all of them, but he chose to prove himself with the one who had been lame for 38 years. To exercise that great power that he has over his creation to reveal who he is. I am the Son of God. These were all prophesied in the Old Testament, the Psalms and Isaiah, to realize so people could see and recognize the Christ when he came. And so he says, listen to the truth. They are going to listen to me. Verse 26, for as the Father has life in himself, so he has granted the Son to have life in himself and has given him authority to execute judgment also because he is the Son of Man. He is God the Son and the Son of Man. You know, we look at that and we realize that, you know, he is 100% God and 100% man. That's a conundrum for our brains to really grasp, but that is the truth of who he was and who he is. And so he's saying, listen to this truth. My Father has given to me, he is saying, the right of this judgment because of what I'm going to do for you. So hear it. Hear what I'm about to say and what I am saying so that you can live. Listen to the truth of who I am. And then he's going to talk about a couple of resurrections. He goes, verse 28 says, do not marvel at this, for the hour is coming of which all who are in graves will hear his voice and come forth. Those who have done good to the resurrection of life and those who have done evil to the resurrection of condemnation. Now, I want you to realize he is not talking about good works, that you and I gain heaven through good works. There are too many verses of Scripture that dispute that. For by grace you are saved through faith. It is not of ourselves. It is the gift of God, lest anyone shall what? Boast. You know, and that's what we would become, a bunch of boasters. Oh, yeah, I've achieved life. I did X, Y, Z, and D. No, it is all in Christ. And he is saying, even in the Old Testament, declares over and over again, the just shall live by faith. So that reality has not changed. That's why we have Hebrews chapter 11, what we call the Hall of Faith, where we have all of these Old Testament saints who exercise faith in God in the coming Messiah, and that's what saved them. And their lives changed to do good. You know, even Rahab is listed there, as well as others who had difficult lifestyles, wayward lifestyles, lifestyles contrary to God's calling, but once she trusted God in her life and to live by faith, God radically changed her life. She ends up getting married, and she's named in the very lineage of David and Christ. You talk about God's grace, mercy, and love coming together. That is what it means, the just shall live by faith. And he is saying, those who live by faith, those who have faith in him, resurrection is good. Ah, but those who reject the truth, don't hear the truth, don't trust in God, their resurrection is of condemnation. We live in a time, even within some good circles, where hell is being diminished. You know, and I don't preach hell to scare people, but it's a reality, and we must know that is a reality. We live in a broken world where many people do not and have not trusted Christ as Savior, and so we have to realize that their destination with death will be a resurrection to condemnation, to spend eternity in hell. Yeah. That is the truth, and if we back away from it, our message becomes diluted. That's why the message of this book is so important. It is God's love letter to us. It is that which we need in order to live, and we need to hear the voice of God when we open it. You know, get on our face before God every day, open this book, and allow him to speak to our hearts and lives so that we can live life abundantly for his glory and his glory alone. That's what this is all about. That's the joy of living in Christ. Notice how this section ends. I can of myself do nothing. I hear, oh, I judge, and my judgment is righteous because I do not seek my own will, but the will of the Father who sent me. Listen to the truth. He came to fulfill the Father's will. That's why in Hebrews chapter 12, when it says that for the joy that lay before him, he endured the cross, it was the joy of fulfilling his Father's will. It was also the joy of knowing that we would come to Christ, those of us who have come, the joy of knowing those who will come to Christ, you know, that he gave his sacrifice for you, for me, so that we could have life eternal and that we could have life abundant here, even in the midst of all of the trials and troubles that all of us go through. And that some, it's just a little bit different. You know, even in our own midst, we have folks that are battling cancer themselves, and we have folks where their loved ones are battling cancer. It's a reality of life that impacts all of our lives. Those are difficult times. I bet you there's a lot of us who have lost loved ones in tragedy, like an accident. You know, and we've had to walk through that. And yet God's sufficiency is there to comfort us and to allow us to be able to share His love in the midst of our own brokenness because of who he is. That's what he's saying. Listen and live. This captures all of life. This isn't just about the eternal. Ultimately, that's where it ends up. But this is about all of life. It is here and now. And he's saying, listen to the truth. The truth is in me. And we know that by the time we get to John chapter 14, he declares that I am the way, the truth, and the life. And no man comes to the Father except what? Through him. Yeah, he is that truthful way. He's the only way. You know, and that's not our words, it's his words. It's not our truth, it's his truth. It is what God wonderfully ordained for us. Let's embrace it. Only Jesus. You know, I grew up in a time where building that legacy was the big thing. You know, having the prominent name and place. You know, that was exactly what I was taught in school. You got to be the big guy. Yeah, rather than no, this is all about God. This is all about Christ. Life is meant to be all about him. Now, I'm not saying don't strive for excellence in all you do. Guess what? God wants you to do that. You know, I found that out as a machinist. You know, don't just be haphazard in what you do. Strive for excellence in all you do. You know, and every aspect of it. Take pride in it. Yeah. I love the fact that I had the joy of doing a lot of military contracts. And I want you to know that when I'm working on clutches and different things and parts for them, man, I don't want my part to fail. You know, when it's being tested in battle, you know, no matter where it was at, you know, Desert Storm and everything, conflict that's been there, you know, I wanted the things that I worked on to be precise so that they would function perfectly within the design of it. You know, striving for excellence in all we do. You know that I spent time as a teacher. Yeah, striving for excellence in all that I do. You know that I spent time as a corrections officer. Yeah, striving for excellence in all that I do. The challenges of each area were different and unique, and yet God's calling in my life was to do that which would glorify him in it. Listen to the truth. Then he goes on to, hey, don't listen only to me, but look at the testimonies. Look at the testimonies about who I am. First, he talks about John. If I bear witness of myself, my witness is not true, verse 31. There is another who bears witness of me, and I know that the witness which he witnesses of me is true. You have sent to John, and he has borne witness of that truth of me. Yet I do not receive testimony from man, but I say these things that you may be saved, have life. He was a burning and shining lamp, and you were willing for a time to rejoice in his light. John the Baptist mentioned time and time again, I am not the one. I am not the Christ. He declared that truth, but there's one who comes after me, and we saw that. I'm not even worthy to unlatch his shoelace or his sandal latch. I'm not worthy to do that. He is the one who is coming. He is the Christ. And when Christ came to him to be baptized, he goes, here he is. Here is the Christ, the Messiah, the one that we have been looking for. And John did not even want to baptize him. He said, no, you should baptize me. And Jesus said, no, wait a minute. This is what the Father wants. This is what I need to happen. And so when he's baptized, what happens? He comes up in the air, the dove comes on his, and God the Father says, what? Behold my Son, hear him. Listen to him. Yeah. So John the Baptist, his whole thing, which was again talked about in the Old Testament, the one who had come in the wilderness to describe the forerunner of Christ, he says, listen to his testimony. Excuse me. And then he goes on to say, if that's not enough, hear this. Look at verse 36. But I have a greater witness than John's. For the works which the Father has given me to finish, the very works that I presently do, my word added in there, bear witness of me that the Father has sent me. He's just simply saying, listen, these miracles that I've been doing, I couldn't do it without being God, the Son of God. It couldn't happen. And that which I am going to do on the cross, all of these works will prove that I am who I am. That's what he's saying to them. So listen to that truth. You know, we know that he had to go to the cross. That sacrifice on your behalf to pay the penalty for you and for me and for our sins could only be accomplished in the Son of God. And he graciously did that. So he's saying, look at the works. Look at the testimonies. I can raise people from the dead. I can heal people instantly. And I do these things because the Father has sent me. So look at him. Look at John. Look at the works. He says, beyond that, I want you to consider something else. Listen to my Father. Listen to this testimony here in verse 37. And my Father himself who sent me has testified of me. You have neither heard his voice at any time nor seen his form, but you do not have his word abiding in you, because whom he sent you do not believe. In other words, you're not listening to the scriptures that talk about my coming. You look throughout the Old Testament, it points to Christ. My Father has given you that. He has borne witness of me, just as the scriptures have. Verse 39, you search the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life, and these are they which testify of me. The testimonies of scripture, the testimonies of life. We have these truths. And so I guess the question is your testimony and my testimony. You know that song that Casting Crowns sings, and only Jesus, I truly believe that that is the crux behind the writing of the song. You know, I want my life to reveal that light and love and the truth of who Christ is. Every moment of every day is what he's saying. Only Jesus. You know, it's championship weekend, and so what's championship weekend if I don't have a illustration from football? You know, in the 90s, things began to change in football a lot. And one of the things that happened in 1964, 1965, I forget which, I think it's 65. But in a Monday night game, after the game, 8 San Francisco 49ers and 8 New York Giants gathered at the 40-yard line and got down on their knees. And people were caught off guard that players from both teams are out there praying. You know, and that caught on throughout the league. I doubt there's a game that if you ever went to a game where that wouldn't take place today. Well, in 97, and you're going to boo at this, but when the Green Bay Packers won the Super Bowl, But when they won the Super Bowl, Reggie White was on the winning team. Now, I hope many of you know Reggie White was a very, very godly man. He loved the Lord passionately in his life. I actually had the joy of meeting him when I was at a Philadelphia Phillies game when he played for the Eagles. It was spring training, and I had a seat right on the edge of the tunnel coming up on the second tier, and the guy next to me is elbowing me. He goes, "There's Reggie White. There's Reggie White." And I'm going, and I turned, and here he is smiling at me right here. So one of those cool moments, you know. But anyways, after the game, and after, because Reggie White was one of the men out there praying, somebody asked him, "What do you pray about?" And he goes, "Oh, that's simple. We just praise God for our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, and we pray that all humanity would see him in us and believe him." Ah, look at the testimonies. That's what he's saying. That's all we're praying about, is to be a testimony of who Jesus Christ is. You know, we don't need the Super Bowl to do that. Every day ought to be a day that reveals, is revealed in our lives, wherever we walk, wherever we talk, wherever we go in life. Is it challenging sometimes? Absolutely. Because we're surrounded by a broken world. But is our testimony necessary and of value? Absolutely. So that people would get to the point and say, "What's the reason of this life that you live? I don't understand it." It is to reveal him in our lives. It isn't to be puffed up in the moment about who we are and what we do, but look at the testimonies. Listen to the truth. Look at the testimonies, and he ends with this: learn or tremble. Notice we're going to go back to verse 38. If we don't listen, we won't understand God's word. Notice what it says again, 38 and following. "But you do not have his word abiding in you." And here they were, leaders of the church. They knew the scriptures, because whom he sent, him you do not believe. In other words, you don't believe me. "You search the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life. But these are they that testify of me." They testify of me, and you won't believe me. "But you are not willing to come to me that you may have life." I do not receive the honor from men. I receive the honor from my Father who is there. So what can we learn about that? We know this truth. The very moment that you and I trust Christ as Savior, his love for us so superabounds beyond salvation that he allows his Spirit to indwell us so you and I can begin to understand the scriptures. I want you to know I was completely biblically illiterate before I was saved. Church wasn't even a part of the agenda in my life. You know, that was just something that somebody else did. My dad did force me a couple of times because I stayed out too late on Saturday night into Sunday morning, so that he would wake me up in the morning by grabbing me by my hair and saying, "Get to church." Now, you know, and there's a little church across the street where we lived at the time, and so that was all that I knew about church. And unfortunately, it wasn't a gospel preaching church or a Bible teaching church. At one time, and I don't mean to gross anybody out by this, the guy who was speaking took a shoe off and he says, "My shoe has a soul. We all have a soul. And it's important what we do in life. The soul protects me when I walk. Your soul is supposed to protect you when you walk." And it went on and talking about the grip in life, get a grip on life because of your soul. He never talked anything about how Jesus Christ brings your soul to life. Never said anything, never opened a Bible. Another time that I was encouraged to go to church by my dad, I got there and he opened up a book, not a Bible, and he read a chapter and he told us how good the book was. Never opened up the Bible, just read a chapter from a book. Now, I have to admit, I didn't wear hearing aids back then, but I wasn't much of a listener anyways. I was compelled to go to church, so why? You know, just do my time, was what I was thinking. You know, that's the neat thing about who we are. We love this book. We love teaching it. We love sharing it. And the very moment that we trust Christ as Savior, we begin to understand it. I don't know about you, but I get excited when I see things and learn new things in God's Word because of who God is in my life now. I get so excited, and I'm still seeing things that I haven't seen before. And that ought to be exhilarating. And you're saying, you're a pastor and you don't know it all? Yep, I don't know it all. And I'm not even going to begin to say I do. But I love still learning. And so that means you and I have to go beyond just being saved, and we have to be willing to be teachable so that the Spirit of God and the Word of God can do its work in our hearts and lives, bringing the changes that God yearns to do in our lives. Learn or tremble. Notice what verse 42 says. It says, but I know you that you do not have the love of God in you. Ow! Could you imagine them hearing that? Because you disbelieve everything that has been said in Scripture, disbelieve everything that has been witnessed about in front of you. You do not listen to me. The love of God is not in you. Yeah. You and I who have trusted Christ as Savior, you and I can say, God loves me, and I have experienced the love of God, and I can walk in the love of God because he will not shut it off. And all of God's people said, amen. The reality of his love is poured out all the time. And yet we live in a broken world to where they're self-sufficient in and of themselves. They don't want to believe the truth for two reasons, pride and wanting to stick in their sinful ways. Darkness has gripped their hearts, has blinded them, but does that mean we should do anything less? No, we should walk in the love of God, enjoy the love of God, allow the love of God to transform us so we live that life of grace and mercy that he has called us to, fulfilling the fruit of the Spirit in our own lives, that love, joy, peace, long-suffering, on and on and on, all nine of them. You know, the reality of who he is in us. And the life I now live, Paul said to the folks in Galatia, I live by faith in the Son of God who gave his life for me. Yeah, it's all about Jesus. It is all about that. And I don't know about you. I was ignorant of the love of God. I'll be honest. I knew nothing of it. Hadn't heard about it. Matter of fact, when I was introduced to the love of God, it scared me for two reasons. I didn't think God could ever love me because of the life I am living and had lived. And B, I wasn't really sure he really loved me. And now I can say, boy, does he love me. And he proved it through his son. What we have at the cross of Calvary and the love of God is now within me. And he tells them, boom, you do not have the love of the Father. Then he goes on even more and look at verses 43 and 44. I have come in my Father's name, and you do not receive me. If another comes in his own name, him you will receive. How can you believe who receive honor from another and do not seek the honor that comes from the only God? In other words, I'm here to honor my Father, but nothing that you do is to honor him, and he can't honor you because you don't honor him in your life. Wow. Here they're religious leaders of the time, and you don't have the honor of God because you just trust yourself and you won't hear me. He's really saying, listen up. And he ends with an exclamation point. Notice what it says, starting with verse 45. Do you think that I shall accuse you to the Father? There is one who accuses you. Ah, Moses, the Old Testament scriptures, in whom you trust. For if you believe Moses, you would believe me. Hear me. For he wrote about me. But if you do not believe his writings, how will you believe my words? He is simply saying judgment is coming. It's real. If you don't believe in the only Son of God, Christ the Lord. Let's remind ourselves of a couple of scriptures. Go back to John chapter 3 before we close this morning. Look at verse 18. We all love verse 16 in John chapter 3, which says, For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Verse 18 says this, He who believes in him is not what? Condemned. Yeah. He took the judgment we deserved. What a blessing if we would hear and believe that truth. Also, verse 36 of the same chapter of John chapter 3, it says this, He who believes in the Son has everlasting life. He who does not believe the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abides on him. Where are you? Are you listening to the truth? Is Jesus Christ your personal Savior? That's what he's asking. Have you in a moment in your life said, God, forgive me, I'm a sinner, and I trust Jesus Christ alone to be my Savior? You have passed from death to life if you've done that. You have the love of God within you. You have the Spirit of God within you. If you have never trusted Christ as Savior, hey, would you listen to his voice today? Just humble yourself before him, saying, I'm tired of living for myself and my own strength. I need you today as my Savior. And you know, if you would do that right now, before I pray for the communion elements, because what we're doing is celebrating the sacrifice of Christ, his broken body, in which our sin was placed in his body, and he paid the penalty for every single one of them, past, present, future. There on that tree, he suffered the wrath of God that I justly deserved. He took my place. And that shed blood of Christ that we celebrate in the cup, it washes away my sin. So that when I blow it tomorrow, the next day, this afternoon, I can call upon him and he'll forgive me. It is that kind of wonderful relationship, and I have communion with him. There's no greater gift no greater gift than you can have than to know Christ as Savior. And so as the worship team comes, let's pray. Our Father and our God, I just thank you again for your word, the joy of it, the truth of it. You speak plainly. Lord, how I pray that we listen up, that we stop, and we hear, and we see the testimonies. Oh, Father, how I pray that if there's one here, or many who have never trusted Christ as Savior, that at this very moment, they would do that.